Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Well, hello and welcome to podcast number 5 of Near Miss Listen and Learn. This will be our final podcast for 2008. We hope everyone's having a safe and enjoyable holiday season this year. Thanks again very much to firehouse.com for making this podcast a reality. I'm John Tippett. I'm a battalion chief with Montgomery County Fire Rescue Service, and I also serve as a project manager for the International Association of Fire Chiefs, the organization that manages the National Firefighter Near Miss Reporting System. Joining us again for this edition is Todd Clist. Todd is a captain with the Sterling Volunteer Fire Company in Loudoun County, Virginia. He's also a program manager for the Fire Chiefs Association's Wildland Urban Interface and Intrastate Mutual Aid Programs. Todd's been with us for several of our readings. I'm sure you'll recognize him. In this edition of Near Miss Listen and Learn, it's the third of a five-part series that focuses on crew resource management issues that are identified in near miss reports. We'll be talking about the CRM component of teamwork for this edition, highlighting a report or a couple of reports that represent a positive outcome that was a result of good teamwork, and then contrasting it with a report that could have benefited or would have benefited from more effective use of team. To sample the reports, the sample reports can be found by using option 2 on the search reports page from firefighternearmiss.com. After clicking on the text, an open text box will appear. Type in 05-218 to see that report. Then you can clear the field and type in 07984 to view that report. Also, the reports will be uploaded to the resources page. Reviewing crew resource management real quick, it's a force multiplier that enhances leadership and improves team performance. There are 5 elements to CRM: communication, decision-making, task allocation, situational awareness, and this edition's feature, teamwork. Firefighting, by any definition, is certainly a team effort. Whether a group of firefighters are advancing an attack line, extricating a patient from a rolled-over vehicle, performing a recon of a leaking chemical drum, or managing a 10,000-acre wildfire, it takes a coordinated effort on the part of the group of people who've been trained to the same standard and have worked together to successfully mitigate an emergency or incident. We know teamwork, or from the CRM component, teamwork is comprised of 2 elements. It's leadership and followership. The leadership piece is probably among the most challenging aspects in any fire service, as Todd and a host of any of the others that work in leadership positions can tell you. One thing that CRM emphasizes is that leaders have to bring to the table a competence that's comprised of 3 parts. That's competence in the social fields, personally competent, and then finally competence at the technical level. On the followership side, we have 15 elements that are there, and a lot of people will ask, well, why are there more elements in followership than leadership? And the prevailing thought is that in order for leaders to be successful, they need to be good followers. So when we talk about some of the followership elements, we're discussing things like having a respect for authority, making sure that you accept authority, knowing what authority's limits are so that you can feel emboldened to make statements and bring things to a leader's attention. Focusing on the leader's success, because if leaders are not successful, then the followers can't be successful either. Having good communication skills, a positive learning attitude, making sure that as a follower you balance your assertiveness, which is encouraged under CRM, with the appropriate amount of authority. Being able to accept orders, one thing the CRM does emphasize is that information needs to be provided to the leader, but the leader is still in charge and has the final say as far as which way a team or a crew is going to act. Another followership thought is to make sure that you demand clear tasks from your leader so there won't be any misunderstanding of roles. Provide feedback so your leader can continue to be successful. And then also be very adaptable, and we all recognize how important it is for adaptability in the fire service. So without teamwork, everything on the incident scene suffers. We're going to take a look at a near miss report where teamwork is first employed to avert a disastrous incident. Our first report details an event that takes place on the fire ground. It's report number 07-984, It was submitted by a deputy chief in a combination department from FEMA Region 3. The reporter happens to have been involved in the event, so it gives us a good first-person reference. And it's a lengthy report this time, and it's been modified to fit the time frame. So to visit to view the whole report, again, you can go to www.firefighternearmiss.com, select Search Reports, select Option 2, enter 07-084 in the text box, or just take a look on the resources page. So I'm going to turn it over to Todd now for the event description and lessons learned.
At 0720 hours, the township was dispatched on a mutual aid response to the hospital for a possible structure fire. Engine 1 responded with a crew of 4 plus driver. As deputy chief for our department, Chief 2, I responded in my personal vehicle. While en route, Fire Assistant Chief, Chief 1, arrived on location and reported there was a steam pipe that had burst in the basement with reported multiple burn victims and entrapment in the basement. Engine 1 arrived on the scene with a crew of 4 and full PPE and SCBA. Upon arrival, the crew was directed to report to Truck 1 for assignment. The crew from Engine 1 was directed by a firefighter to attempt to make entry into the basement via the outside stairs. Crew accountability tags were given to a firefighter. I arrived, and a firefighter directed me to my crew from Engine 1 that was getting ready to make entry for the search. I joined the crew wearing full PPE and SCBA after handing my accountability tags to a firefighter. At the bottom of the stairs, we encountered 5 to 6 inches of warm water. Before making entry, all personnel donned their face masks and went on air. Firefighter 2 entered the basement, first sounding the floor before making entry, followed by a lieutenant and the remaining crew from our station. As the crew advanced into the basement, deeper into the room, the water level on the floor was approximately 2 to 3 inches of warm to hot water. When sliding an axe across the area, it was found that there was a drop-off that was approximately 4 feet deep from the area the crew was standing. All crew members in the area were made aware of the drop-off, and items in the room were stacked in that area to be sure that no one would fall into the drop-off. The lieutenant walked behind him to provide light and stepped back into a void space which had approximately 4 feet of hot water in it. The lieutenant screamed, "My leg, I'm burning." A mayday was called, but transmissions were not getting out. The lieutenant was lifted out of the water by his SCBA strap and carried up and out of the basement and turned over to a waiting crew from EMS. The lieutenant sustained non-life-threatening burns. My lesson is learned. Wear proper PPE and SCBA. Good teamwork and accountability contribute to the successful outcome of this incident.
Thanks, Todd. That report goes at great length to talk about a number of functions in the at the fire scene that speak to good teamwork, not the least of which was a good accountability system that was in practice, a rapid response and organized response to a colleague in distress, having things like EMS on the scene and available quickly, functioning as a team as far as comments to the effect that the lieutenant was lifted out and carried up and out of the basement and turned over to an awaiting crew. Also, transfer to a burn unit is one of the consistent practices that we use in our department for all burn injuries. And these are all examples of how varying degrees of teamwork are employed at different times on the incident scene to make sure that events are resolved in a rapid fashion. It can't be overemphasized that, as this department mentions, it's a combination department, so it is critical for crew members to know each other, to get to work with each other, and the more they become familiar with each other, the more efficient they'll be on the fire ground. We'll take a short break here before we move on to our second report. This edition of Near Miss Listen and Learn is dedicated to the memory of Heather Westfall. Heather was our membership marketing manager. Many of you may remember Heather as the voice of our Near Miss Listen and Learn commercial breaks. She brought an excitement and joy to everyone she met in her too short time with us. Unfortunately, Heather died in a tragic accident while vacationing in Hawaii. We all miss her terribly.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Okay, we're back to report number 2 for this event. As I said, in this edition of Near Miss Listen and Learn, we have some pretty lengthy reports. So rather than do the compare and contrast between 4 reports, we're just going to do 2 this time. So So our second report is report number 05-218. It's submitted by a captain from a paid municipal department in FEMA Region 6. This reporter is a witness to the event that occurs, and we're going to look at a few breakdowns in teamwork that may be enhanced with some improved attention to team performance. So due to the length of the report, it's been edited to fit into our time frame, but the majority of the incident description and lessons learned have been left in place. So I'm going to turn it back over to Todd.
At approximately 0500 hours, we were dispatched to a restaurant on fire. The weather was cool and clear. All personnel were entering the final hour of their 24-hour shift. All of the responding companies work in an extremely busy part of town in a large city. The responding companies consist of two district chiefs, four engine companies, two ladder companies, one basic life support ambulance, one paramedic rescue squad, and one safety officer. The first arriving engine company on scene reported fire showing from the roof of a one-story restaurant in a strip shopping center. The engine company stated they were making a fast attack on the fire. The district chief arrived on the scene at the same time and assumed command of the fire. Two other engine companies and two ladder companies arrived on location less than 1 minute later. The incident commander assigned a rapid intervention team and instructed another engine company to lay a supply line to the attack engine. The incident commander then ordered the second engine company to assist the first arriving engine company with attacking the fire. The incident commander instructed the first ladder company to begin forcible entry operations and check for possible extension into the adjoining businesses. I was assigned to the second arriving ladder company. As we arrived on the scene, I could see the fire burning along the roof line on the front of the building. A large sign with the name of the business was also on fire. There appeared to be some burning debris on the ground beneath the sign and near the building. My first impression of the fire was nothing more than electrical short, which caused the sign to catch fire, and some of the debris had fallen to the ground. I reported to the incident commander that my company was on location and ready for an assignment. The incident commander ordered my crew to assist with forcible entry and to begin a primary search. I acknowledged the order, and we proceeded to maneuver the ladder truck into position at the front of the building. As we approached the front of the building, I continued to assess the situation. Suddenly, the large sign fell from the facade, landing on top of two firefighters. The sign was approximately 20 feet long, 5 feet high, and 1 foot wide. I reported the collapse to the incident commander, along with the fact that a firefighter was trapped beneath the sign. I then informed my crew that there was a collapse and the firefighter were trapped. At this time, the engineer operator assigned to the first arriving engine company called for a mayday. My crew and I ran to the aid of the downed firefighters. Several crews converged on the collapse zone at the same time. I could only see one firefighter at the time, and he was trapped under the middle portion of the sign. I took a position at the head of the injured firefighter. Note, this firefighter was the acting captain during this shift. I could clearly see his face through his facepiece. He appeared to be unconscious and did not respond when I asked if he could hear me. At this moment, there were probably a dozen or more firefighters at the site of the collapse, most of whom were assisting in lifting the sign enough to allow the others to pull the firefighter free of his entrapment. Once we pulled him clear of the collapse zone, I again tried to determine his level of consciousness while the others began assessing his injuries. It was difficult to tell if he was breathing at first, due to all of his turnout gear. Again, he did not respond to my voice. About 30 seconds after we removed him from the collapse zone, the firefighter opened his eyes and slowly began answering questions appropriately. The second firefighter involved in the collapse was trapped momentarily from the waist down. Note, this firefighter was a temporary fill-in firefighter, normally assigned to another station in another district. He was able to extricate himself and immediately went to the aid of the other firefighter. He attempted to lift the large sign off the firefighter but was unable to move it. Not realizing how badly he was injured and working off of adrenaline, he retrieved an attack line and started to spray water on the burning building to protect the other firefighters from future collapse. Once both firefighters were out of harm's way, they were immobilized using a spine board and transported to an area trauma center for further assessment of their injuries. Both were treated and released from the hospital later that same morning. One remains off duty due to his injuries 1 week after the incident. In summary, The first arriving engine company consisted of the following personnel. 1. An acting captain. This individual was promoted to engineer operator less than 1 year ago. He transferred to the station approximately 2 weeks prior to the fire and is assigned as an engine operator on one of the ambulances assigned to the station. This is the firefighter that was unconscious and trapped under the middle of the sign. The second individual was a roving engineer operator. The individual driving the apparatus was recently promoted to engineer operator and is currently awaiting permanent assignment to an ambulance. Newly promoted personnel in our department are subject to working in a roving status for many months before a permanent assignment is given. This puts them in an uncomfortable and unsafe position of possibly working at different fire stations with different crews and different parts of the town from one day to the next. The third firefighter, this firefighter is normally assigned to another station in another district. He is a 25-year veteran. He and another firefighter were attempting to raise a 24-foot extension ladder when the collapse occurred. The fourth individual, firefighter number 2. This firefighter is a rookie firefighter. He was recently transferred to this station. At the moment of the collapse, all departmental SOP and SOGs were being enforced and followed. I believe that there are several key factors which contributed to the near-fatal incident. Obviously, the crew was not familiar with one another. This particular station shift does not have a regularly assigned captain, engineer, operator, or normal complement of assigned firefighters. The officer is either an engineer operator riding the captain's position or a fill-in overtime captain. This is a growing problem concern in our fire department. One point of concern is the fact that our command staff will fill support divisions such as dispatch, the training academy, and command positions, staff positions, using suppression personnel before they will fill suppression positions in the fire stations. This causes a large percentage of fire crews to work with firefighters who are not familiar with one another. Our fire department, like many others, has a chronic shortage of EMS personnel. The command staff has no choice but to require all new hires to become paramedics. Paramedic shortage has always been a problem for our department, but it hasn't been a real concern to the men and women in suppression until recent years. The concern lies in the fact that a large percentage of our members are eligible for retirement, and the men and women promoted into vacant suppression positions have been lost in the EMS division for decades. It's not uncommon for a member to graduate from the training academy, promote to the rank of captain or above, and never fight a fire at any time in between. Therefore, in this case, minimum fire ground experience could also be considered. While all of the firefighters on the engine company were viewed as good firefighters, only one could be considered a veteran. In this case, it would appear that the crew should have considered the possibility of collapse, but the lack of crew continuity may have been an overriding factor. An officer, or for that matter, any member of the crew, who does not know or have the confidence in his or her crew could very easily become overwhelmed with issues as simple as ensuring that the crew hasn't fragmented and started freelancing. Teamwork and familiarity of crew members is vital to our safety. The way our shift schedule is designed, we are required to work with firefighters we have never worked with before. Crew continuity is a very important part of safety for firefighters. When continuity is broken, things become very dangerous very quickly. A firefighter attends a training academy for a few months. He or she graduates and is assigned a station. Oftentimes, these rookies are assigned to an apparatus with a rookie captain, a rookie engineer, and a rookie riding with him and her in the back of the engine. This is nothing short of disaster waiting to happen. My lessons learned are: training, teamwork, communication, situational awareness are all critical to a safe and successful outcome in every incident that firefighters respond to. Many firefighters scoff at the thought of being assigned as a rapid intervention team. This is one of the most important assignments that your crew could ever have. Think about it for a moment. If and when you are called into action, you will be assigned the task of searching for and attempting to save firefighters. More often than not, the firefighter will be a close personal friend of yours. I have been involved in the deployment of 2 different RITs. And never assume that you are above learning anything.
Thanks, Todd. That lengthy presentation and incident that occurred is probably not much different than most firefighters are experiencing in fire departments all across the U.S. and Canada. Whether you're a career department or a volunteer department, the assembly of personnel becomes an extremely critical point and juncture. As the group that was hired in the mid-70s, when a lot of fire departments went through their explosive growth spurts, and into the early 80s reaches retirement age, it's going to become more critical that those ascending to the positions of leadership and operations spend even more time getting to know each other. There's a whole host of things that you can do, especially if your department operates like this one, where crews are thrown together or crews come together. And we know these strategies because this is the same practices that the aviation community uses in their crew resource management training. One of the most simple ways and most efficient ways you can restore or develop teamwork is by simply introducing yourself to each other and finding out what each other's specialties are, how long you've been in the department, some of the background and experience. So take that time around the coffee table when the shifts come together or when you arrive at the station or at some point in time when it's not the expediency of an emergency to get to know the people that you're working with. There is some drawback to the efficiency of a crew that's thrown together. Also drawbacks with the acting officer program, but for the foreseeable future, that's going to be the way the fire service continues to operate. So it's incumbent on us to come up with different strategies to overcome some of those programs. That experience or limited experience in crew continuity and the use of detailed personnel around also comes around to be a common factor among fire service discussion. So again, when those detailed people arrive at your station, or if you're the detailed person yourself, take the bold step to get to know the people you're going to be working with for the rest of the shift or in your new department. One of the things that also comes to light is that, as the report mentions, there's a great initial training program with a lot of departments, but then there's little or no continuing education. In the this current budget crisis that most fire departments are experiencing across the country, if your department doesn't have continuing education, it's probably incumbent on yourself to make a point of getting online or subscribing to some sort of a fire service journal in order to keep yourself up on things. You can also do things just as simply as visit the near-miss reporting system and start looking at some of the case studies there with the over 2,000 reports that are filed for people to use as training and education tools. We also can't lose sight of the fact that our management faces some significant challenges in a diminishing budgetary climate. The mayor, the city council, the executive of the government, whoever it is that's running the program, is putting pressure on the fire chief to do more with less. So we're forced to come up with strategies, and some of those strategies don't cost anything. Again, falling back on some of those human behaviors of getting to know each other before the bells ring. Well, that's going to conclude this edition of Near Miss Listen and Learn and also close out our program for 2008. We want to extend a sincere thanks to all of you out there in the fire service that have taken the time to use the program and download it. Because of your response and reaction to the program, we're going to be continuing Near Miss Listen and Learn into 2009. If there's anything we can do to help hear from the Near Miss office to contribute to your safety program, be sure to drop us an email at nearmiss@iafc.org. So until next time, I hope you have a happy holiday. Be vigilant, stay focused, and listen and learn.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.